Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Chu.
This is Cal.
Welcome to Word to the Blurred, baby.
Word to the Blurred with Chu and Cal.
It's episode, well, shit, at this point, it's 2022 edition.
Yeah. How we do. I mean, I pretty much, when I upload the episodes, I think I have this as, do I have this as season three? I have to check again when I upload it to the, wow, I'm forgetting the podcast website.
Anchor.
To Anchor, yeah, because then that'll let me know like what I'll label it. But this might be season three or close to the end of season two. But here we are, and happy new year.
Yeah, man, how are you doing?
Doing well. I'm actually kind of really bored.
Yeah, that's actually been like our theme since I've been home. Oh, check it out. I'm back home in New York for a little minute. I'm actually leaving tomorrow. Heading back to DC for a little minute. Well, not a little minute, because you know, I live in DC now, but I'll be out there. Shit, I don't know. It's been a boring time. It didn't even feel like a holiday, man. With everybody getting sick and COVID and shit, it's just like,
yeah, it's
what crazy. Are we doing?
It's crazy. We've really just been looking each other in the eye every day, or like in their little respective spaces.
That's a whole fact. Like right now, ladies and gentlemen, he's in his room and I'm in the living room. It's just like, well.
Yeah, and we're in the same house recording in separate rooms right now. But it also would have been, we would have had to do that anyway just because of the feedback and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, holidays were the holidays, and we're here. We're gonna get right into it. So, without further ado,
we started our holiday with the Matrix Resurrection, and you know we was watching that with our brother, our cousin, you know, friend of the show, brother of the show, our man Drew from Stoop Kids.
Stoop Kids Big podcast. Shout out to Stoop
Kids podcast. You know, Si and Drew, our cousin Si. I don't know. I wasn't feeling this one like at all.
Matrix?
Yeah, it was trash.
Are you not following the chat? Do you have the chat?
No, I was looking, but what I was doing was since we were talking about the holiday and we watched the Matrix pretty much in Christmas or so, Christmas Eve.
So whatever. It just became your show. You just decided what order we were gonna talk
about. I'm just saying. we'll do
it your way. We'll play the Tucson game. But no, The Matrix Resurrection sucked. That was a terrible movie. It was so disappointing. It just, I don't know. Visually, I feel like there was really no connective tissue to the original. All they kept doing is, excuse me, it was like a rehash of the first one where it's like they redid certain scenes from the first one, so you kind of have that nostalgia. I kind of thinking about it, I don't really know what the story is, what they were trying to do. Like, what was the story? Like, wasn't there peace? But like these what's the people on that ship, they just wanted to break out Neo for some reason because she saw him try to kill himself. But it's not like,
yeah, it was just like, oh, he's alive, so we got to bring him home.
Yeah, so the machines like, didn't, well, really,
shit, if it
didn't
ain't really broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, the machines didn't really do anything. Spoilers, by the way. The machines really didn't do anything. It was just like, I don't know. And plus, like, also, because, like, I'm a film guy, so if you watch, like, the first one and watch this one or, like, the other two movies, visually, they look so different. Like, I'm pretty sure the first three films were filmed on film. And these were shot on like a digital camera, and just they just also don't have the color palette, because if you look and watch the original, it kind of had like that greenish little tint to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this one doesn't even have that. It's just
looks like a regular goddamn movie.
Yeah, it just looks weird. I don't know. It's yeah, it was disappointing. I was excited. Oh, excuse me, damn. I was happy be back in the Matrix, but I mean. It was just a letdown. There were certain elements that I was kind of digging that I liked. I liked when they actually left the Matrix. I actually dig all of those scenes where we learn about the new city. Was it Io, it's called, or something like that?
Yeah.
The new city, Io, like, and how it was built by the humans and the machines. Like, I would have loved to have seen that. Like, I also would have loved to have seen that part where Niobe was talking about how the machines were, like, having a war with themselves, like a civil war. I would have loved
to. Yeah, they definitely should have leaned more into that story or did more. Like, you remember how before the Dark Knight they had that, or they even did it with the between the first Matrix and the second Matrix. They had the whole Animatrix thing. You could have did something like that to catch people up.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that this was half-assed. I felt like the movie itself was half-assed. I feel like the action and the choreography was trash compared to the first three.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is this? Now, I get it. The Matrix broke ground on a lot of things that we now use today, but you still could have used that aesthetic and really polished it up. I feel like certain people were there for the check. I hated what they did to Morpheus because Morpheus is my favorite character.
Yeah.
Morpheus, you know,
even Morpheus.
Yeah, he was like a mixture of Smith and Morpheus on top of the fact that you made him sound like a fool or whatever Neo did. We have to, you know, it's like you made him seem like he just wouldn't bang. You know, he just... And also, if you look in the video game, he got killed in the video game. So if it follows, if that's considered canon, then you know what I mean?
How did he die in the video game?
He got shot.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it was like a computer game. I was watching this YouTube video about it.
Well, maybe
so I was like, this can't be.
Maybe that's not how he died, because the way Niobe was talking, it seemed like he died outside of the Matrix.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like they don't pay attention to their canon at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they had a whole game that was produced by the Wachowskis.
Wachowskis, yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, anything that has to do with the Matrix, their name is tied up on. They get money from that. So it's like you kind of just came up with a bullshit story, and it kind of makes me feel like that one scene where they were talking about Warner Brothers is going to do this with or without you.
It was actually very meta because they talk about it in the movie where it's like, yeah, Warner Brothers wants to do another game and like they'll do it with or without you. But apparently that was also the truth while they were making this movie, that like Warner Brothers was like, hey, listen, like the Matrix, you know, it's a moneymaker, it's a juggernaut. We want to make another one. And if you want to be a part of it, that'd be great. But if not, then we'll go to other filmmakers and see what they could do. Which I honestly don't mind, because you could have had a fresher take on a fresher spin, and maybe have had a filmmaker that seemed like, you know, that wanted to actually do it. So I thought that would have been cool, to be honest, because I was
agree with reading, you. Go ahead.
I was just reading some things that like the producers and directors were talking about. I was just like, yeah, they were like, listen, they were gonna make a Matrix 4 with or without us, so. You know, they were taking pitches and stuff from other filmmakers, but
which is fucking okay, bro.
Yeah, which is fine, but it's just like, I guess, like, you know, they wanted to like, you know, do the kind thing and talk to the original people, see if they wanted to do it, and I guess they kind of said, all right, well, fuck it, I guess we'll just do it. But it was just kind of just a letdown of a movie, and just the action wasn't good. We live in a world where like, there's just so much good action in movies, and I feel like The Matrix was like an early 2000s action film. Like it just didn't, you know, The Matrix set standards.
Didn't hit the landing at all.
They set standards in filmmaking, and they just kind of just, they, I don't know, they just didn't really do much. So Matrix Resurrections was disappointing. Sorry, guys. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but it's on HBO Max if you want to check it out. It's also in theaters, but it's not worth paying the ticket money.
Yeah, so had I paid for it, I'd have been upset.
Yeah, so just watch it on HBO Max if you have it. But do you want to choose our next topic, Toussaint?
Go ahead.
Well, I guess since we're sticking with Warner Brothers, let's talk about that new Batman trailer, which actually I think came out like a day or two after they put The Matrix Resurrections on.
Yeah, Warner Brothers needed a redeeming quality.
Like, the trailer came out of nowhere. Like, I saw people posting screenshots of it on Instagram, and I was like, where do these photos come from? Looks like it's new footage. And then I went on, like, Comic Book Movie, and then I clicked it. I was like, there's a new trailer out? And I was thinking, like, maybe it'd be, like, a minute or 30 seconds, you know, just something.
No, nah, it was, like 2 minutes or so,
it was
right?
2 minutes and 30 seconds of just new footage, and it was called The Bat and the Cat. And you really get a sense of the story in this one. God, I'm so ready for this movie.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've watched that trailer. Like when I first watched it, I was just smiling. I was like, "Oh my god!" Like it was just like the starting off with the car chase scene, and then you see the Batmobile do that little like kind of sliding stop. And you see Penguin's car do those flips. I was like, "That's a great fucking shot where the camera's like under the car." Oh my god, I can't wait.
For me, I think what interests me about the trailer is that you get to really see what Bruce and Selena's relationship is going to be looking like.
Yeah.
You know, and I really can't wait to see how Robert Pattinson does with the suit, you know, and just how he flexes with the story. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Jeffrey Wright as Jim Gordon, you know, his interpretation of Jim Gordon. I really, really can't wait for that. I want to see what this is the first time where I can say where it's like, ooh, you look at the rhythm, it's like, ooh, this is a little scary. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I love the interpretation they did with the Riddler, because from when I was reading, it was kind of like basing him off the whole Zodiac killer, and like it's a bit of a Seven vibe. I don't know if you guys have seen Seven. It's a kind of like a
that's with Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah, Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, like a psychological thriller. And there's this guy who kills people, and it's based off the Seven Deadly Sins. And it's a very, very dark movie. It's directed by David Fincher, who directed Fight Club, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, a bunch of other movies. But he's one of those top filmmakers that I like. But yeah, I love how dark it is. It really just seems like the city of Gotham feels like it's just like this dark, just depressing place of people just living on top of each other. It just seems like like this movie's really creating a whole world. Like, and that's something I don't think we've really seen since, in my opinion, Batman Begins, because I felt like in the Dark Knight Rises, it was like, oh, that's Chicago or that's New York. Like, this feels like a really designed and imagining environment and city. And I always like that when they do that in films like that, where they really build their own world instead of like, oh, that's clearly New York, or that's clearly Chicago, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And just based off of what I was reading, like, with Matt Reeves, he directed it and co-wrote it. He directed the Planet of the Apes films. He did this really cool vampire movie called, what was it, Let Me In, which was a remake of, I think, this Swedish vampire movie called Let the Right One In. But anyways, I digress. He talked about when he was writing this movie, he was listening to Nirvana, and he imagined Bruce Wayne as like Kurt Cobain, like being like a reclusive rock star living in his little apartment.
That's interesting.
In Gotham City, yeah. And apparently, Wayne Manor is gonna be a home for. Can't find the word for this. It's going to be a home for orphans, and him and Alfred actually live in the city, in an apartment in the city. So I think that's going to be interesting. I also like how it's like this whole mystery thing of like, clearly it seems like the Waynes were involved in something, in some type of corruption, and Alfred was hiding something from him. So I'm just excited to see how everything plays out. Like, I think it's going to be a really great Batman movie. They did a whole interview in Empire Magazine with, you know, the actors and the director and the producer, and the producer's like, we're aiming to beat Nolan. And apparently they actually like said that to his face. Like, they said, hey, you know, we're doing this Batman movie, and we're trying to make the best Batman movie. We're trying to beat your trilogy. So I like,
oh shit.
I like,
that's a lot.
I like the confidence, and I'm excited, man. I mean, it's coming soon, man. We're like two and a half months. Cause it comes out March 4th. So that's, you know, February is a short month.
Yeah.
So, and then I was just reading that since Warner Brothers, they like a lot of movie theaters are doing that 45-day window thing. So, with Warner Brothers films, they have a 45-day theatrical window, and then they go to HBO Max. So, the Batman would be on HBO Max in April, May. So, but see it in theaters, guys. See it on the biggest screen possible, the best format available. Support the theaters and support this movie.
Bird, I might have to come home for that.
So we can keep getting Batman movies. But I'm excited. I don't need another trailer. This trailer did it for me. I could just chill and wait till the movie comes out. You know, of course, I'll read more articles about it because I'm that kind of guy. But yeah, just the Batman comes out in theaters March 4th, 2022, and I know we're excited. You're excited. All the listeners are excited. So yeah.
Am I?
Maybe actually just keep in line with Batman. Keep it in with the mainline DC universe. It's been confirmed that Michael Keaton will reprise his role of Batman in Batgirl, which is currently filming now in, I think, Glasgow, Scotland. And the movie's directed by, I cannot say their names.
It's these two guys, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
like Adil something and Bilal something. They're from the Netherlands. They're like these two Muslim directors, I believe, from the Netherlands. And they
I don't know why I thought they were Spanish.
No. They're from the Netherlands, but they're two Muslim directors, and they're from the Netherlands. And they directed Bad Boys for Life, and they're currently directing this movie right now. So yeah, it's interesting. So it seems like it's pretty much confirmed that Michael Keaton will kind of be the Batman going forward in the mainline DC universe. And I guess the Flash would be Ben Affleck's kind of bow out, you know, moment.
I'm sick of this shit. I'm out.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how that plays out, how they utilize Keaton and Batgirl, and also in the Flash, you know. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, it's just a lot's coming. I think Batgirl actually comes out this year as well in 2022. I think at like the end of the year. I have to double check that. I'm curious. Because we have a lot of DC movies coming out this year.
Listen, I'm here for it.
Like, the Batman comes out on March 4th. In the summer, we have Black Adam. That's July, I think, 28th or 29th.
That's a movie I really want to see.
The Flash is supposed to come out in November. November or October. And then Aquaman 2 is in December. When does the Batgirl movie come out? 1 second, guys. It says 2022, but it doesn't say a release date. Interesting. If they don't have a month for this, then I don't think it'll come out this year. But it says Batgirl scheduled to be released in 2022 on HBO Max, but there's no date. But I mean,
who knows? It's probably going to be like late 22.
I mean, because you wouldn't want to put it out when, like, you know, when you have the Flash in November. And then Aquaman in December. I mean, even though, like, one's a streaming movie, I don't know. I guess it could work. You could have a little DC weekend of go seeing Batgirl on HBO Max and then go see The Flash or Aquaman. Maybe they could do Batgirl in, like, if it's done by then, maybe, like, August or October, release it. But, the girl, her name is Leslie Grace. I think she was born in the Bronx and raised in Miami. She's a Afro-Latina actress playing Batgirl. We've got J.K. Simmons coming back as Commissioner Gordon. We got Brendan Fraser playing Firefly.
I wish they would have got Jeffrey White. That would have been cool.
Yeah, but that Matt Reeves wouldn't allow that. Plus, that'd mess with his
multiverse,
and it wouldn't make sense either, because this is, why would you put like a Batgirl in a year two Batman universe, you know what I mean? Cool. Especially in, like, and then that story is like him still establishing himself as Batman. But yeah, I mean, Batgirl should be,
and you got Michael Keaton and Commissioner Gordon and Bruce Wayne the same age and shit.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, which kind of segues into our talks with The Flash. So there's been some unconfirmed story points about The Flash that apparently he really kind of goes back to different DC movies and resets certain things. So I was reading that, like, the Justice League is kind of in the movie. So you do, of course, you have Ben Affleck's Batman, but I read that you see Henry Cavill Superman, but, like, he's supposed to be on the TV screen talking about something. You see a couple other members of the league, and apparently he goes to different DC movies. And, like, I think one of them was he goes back to Man of Steel time, and he kind of warns Clark about the Battle of Metropolis. So, like, he could, like, fight Zod somewhere else or something like that. And apparently he doesn't kill Zod, but he just chops him in the Phantom Zone. Again, actually, I gotta give more spoiler warnings. Like, none of this is confirmed. It's just what I read, and it's from some, I guess I want to say reputable people, some reputable people that really like are really good with scoops. But apparently, the Flash like kind of resets the whole Snyderverse kind of universe, and I don't know how I feel about that because I really do enjoy a lot of things about the Snyder universe. And I mean,
now that we got that 4-hour movie.
Yeah, and I do kind of feel like the Warner Brothers is trying to wipe the slate clean. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, I think you could use this movie to clean up certain things, but I don't think you should use it to just hit a reset button on the DC Universe, especially when it's proven that a lot of fans are still very much interested in some of the things that Snyder set up. Like, and apparently this movie, damn, do I say it? I mean, again, spoiler, like, if you want to skip, like, a minute or two ahead, if you don't want to know like what happens in the Flash, skip like a minute to it. Again, this isn't confirmed. It's just what I've read. That apparently it ends with Batgirl, Supergirl, the Flash, and Shazam kind of starting to form their own kind of Justice League, and Wonder Woman as well. Because apparently another thing is that it's been confirmed that Gal Gadot in 2021, I think during the summer, filmed two things for Wonder Woman, and people are saying one's for The Flash and one's for Shazam. So it seems like she may make an appearance in both those films. So
interesting.
It's going to be interesting. I think things will kind of be more fully revealed with DC's plans as as the year progresses, because there's so much DC films coming out this year. So we should have a better idea of what their plan is going forward with their universe. So it's interesting, but I think that kind of
make us believe is in your movies again.
Yeah, I think that kind of like wraps up our DC kind of segment, because we talked about the new Batman trailer, we talked about Michael Keaton, talked about the Flash. I want to talk about Spider-Man, but first let's talk about Hawkeye. How did you feel about Hawkeye?
Hawkeye as a whole, I thought it was okay. It wasn't something that, like, it was, I got to rush home to go watch Hawkeye.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it definitely wasn't one of those. I would definitely watch it, like, a day or two after it came out. I think that there were certain aspects that I liked. I did like their relationship. Spoiler warnings. I did like, how you see how Cliff is still struggling from the events of Endgame. And I don't know. That's really about it.
Yeah, I wasn't. The show as a whole, I don't think I'd put it in my top three Marvel TV shows. There were certain parts I liked. Like, I liked that little car chase they had. The way that was shot and the action, and that was pretty cool. But I did not like Kate Bishop all that much at first. I mean, because, like, I hate when they do sometimes in these superhero shows and movies where it's like the character already knows how to kick ass, even though they had like no training. It's like, oh, well, I did martial arts. I mean, there's plenty of people that did martial arts and could not do what the fuck
you're doing. Like that.
Exactly. So I kind of hate when the person already just starts out, kicking ass, and it kind of makes them unbelievable to me. And it's like, oh, this person, why would I, like, this person's already fucking people up. So it's like, what's the journey? And you know what I mean? So I wasn't really feeling that. I actually just started off like, oh, I could fight and I could do all this and that. I did not like how they did Kingpin. I know apparently this is a different Kingpin, a different variant from the Daredevil one, but this Kingpin was not threatening to me. He was not. His little lair was like, looked like a fucking garage office or something, or some sort of like I don't know. I just, there was nothing scary or threatening to this Kingpin. And like, if you watch the Daredevil series, and Vincent D'Onofrio gives such an amazing performance as Wilson Fisk in that show, he's super fleshed out, he's super violent, but he's also extremely insecure and sensitive and loving and just very poetic, and he's just, you just have all that wrapped up in just this big monster of a man, who could like really just rip someone's head off if he truly wanted to. And this one, I'm just like, I'm not scared of you. And then it was almost kind of comical how much he would get fucked up. Like, he took an arrow to the chest, he got hit by a car and flew through like a wall, And then the,
he's just like, what the
fuck? Didn't someone shoot like an arrow at him and he like blew up or something? But like he just never died. Yeah,
he's just like, whoa, I know this is Marvel.
It was just things where I was just like, I was like, as far as I know, in the comics, Wilson Fisk never really had powers. He was like freakishly strong, but it was never like, oh, he's a mutant or he's this and that. So I was kind of like, all right, this is a bit much. And the Tracksuit Mafia, like, they were just played for laughs. Like, I just didn't care about them. They just, the
comedic villains relief.
Weren't threatening. Yeah, the villains weren't threatening. The mother, who's supposed to be, I guess, she turns out to be the real villain or whatever. She, I don't know, she wasn't threatening either. Like, I didn't care. And it was a dumb line. Do you remember what she said? Is this what happens? Daughters arrest their mothers on Christmas or something like that. Just some stupid line she said to Kate before she got handcuffs. She's like, children arrest their parents on Christmas. I was like, what? What a stupid line. Who wrote that shit?
Look, your ass was fucking working for this man, and then you're going to send somebody to kill Clint Burke, Barton.
Yeah, I just...
Spoilers, sorry.
And then they're supposed to... We're getting an Echo show out of this, but, like, I don't feel like we spent enough time with Echo. Like... I'm
not invested in Echo like that enough.
I was interested in her character when they kind of did that little flashback part. We see her training and her dad dies, but like, I wish we spent more time with her because I kind of don't care about the character. I, you know, I'm kind of just like, whatever. If they cancel it, you know, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. But I didn't like finish the show and being like, okay, bring on the Echo show. I'm ready for it. Like, I just, you know,
Echo.
And there's rumors that you know, Wilson Fisk will be in it, and there's rumors that Charlie Cox, who played Daredevil, will be in it. But we shall see what happens. But
I mean, just seeing. Well, we'll get to that in a few.
Yeah.
Said King thing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. What's the next show coming out from Marvel?
That's a good question.
I think it's either might be Moon Knight or Miss Marvel. I don't know. But maybe they have like a couple movies to get through first. Because I don't think we'll get another MCU show till maybe close to the summer or end of summer, maybe the end of the year.
But, that sounds about right.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Wasn't a fan of it. Hawkeye kind of just came and went for me. It was nothing crazy, nothing special, in my opinion, to be honest. But
get that man out of here.
Sticking with some better Marvel. Is it okay to talk about it? Is it okay to talk about Spider-Man? When is, like, it's been like what, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, well, Spider-Man: No Way Home is out in theaters at long last.
And it was great.
We've been waiting. We've been anticipating. It took me forever to see the damn movie, but I finally saw it. What movie? Thursday. Yes, Thursday.
Yeah, I saw it the day before it came, and the day after it came out.
Yeah, I saw it this past Thursday in theaters. My eyeballs were blessed. It was a great movie. It was a great movie, and I was a little nervous because... You know, and leading up to this movie, just like you hear about so many things about like how many villains they're bringing back, and then spoiler warning. And you're reading about Toby and Andrew coming, you know what I mean? I'm just like, and then how are you going to continue the story of Tom Holland Spider-Man? And full disclaimer, I if anyone that listens, I'm not. This movie kind of, it took it up a notch for me with Tom Holland Spider-Man because I haven't necessarily been the biggest fan of his Spider-Man just because of my gripe with him, like, having all these gadgets. Like, you know, everything is Stark Tech. Stark Tech this, Stark Tech that. I got this from Tony Stark. I got the Iron Spider suit from Tony Stark. You know, it was just this Iron Man Jr. thing. But the way the movie progressed and how it kind of ended, it made me really happy. And I was like, okay. I could see a fourth one with him, but yeah, I dug it. I really liked it. I got emotional in some parts.
Don't get me started.
Grinning from ear to ear like the Joker in some parts. There were some parts that were funny, but yeah, it was a great movie. I loved it. I was surprised at how dark it was because I was not expecting that. It was a pretty dark movie, but I loved it. I mean, any particular scenes that were good for you? And guys, just for a warning, if you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, please skip ahead a little bit, because I think we're just going to go into it and talk about it. But Toussaint.
I saw it, like I said, I saw it the day after it came out, and the first time watching it, I was just like, whoa. Like, I remember just trying to figure out where could they go from the last movie, and boy, did they go places.
Yeah.
You went places where a party was like, it's about time, like you said, it's about time we see Peter in this light, you know, like, this guy can't win. If before you thought he couldn't win with traveling to space and losing Tony Stark and all this other stuff, no. We finally get that bummed out Peter Parker, what I call suicide watch Peter Parker, where this shit ain't going right at all.
For real, for real.
It was good to see Toby and Andrew back in the suits and just being their perspective Spider-Man, and just, it gave me new appreciation for the Andrew Garfield ones. I still dislike the first one.
Really?
Amazing Spider-Man 1. 2 is probably, I like the suit for 2. I think the story for 1 is better. That's always how I say it, because the suit for 1 always turns me off.
Okay. Okay. The suit for Andrew Garfield's first Spider-Man, the eye lenses are kind of iffy. I think the suit for Amazing Spider-Man 2 may be one of my favorite Spider-Man suits. It just feels like very comic book accurate. I'll say this. I feel like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is the most comic book Spider-Man to me. Just in terms of his mannerisms and his cracking jokes at the villains, and just, it just felt like it. Like I was rewatching it last week. Like, I think you actually came in when I was watching it. And there was a scene where he was fighting Electro at first, and then he like sprayed water on him, and he's with the firefighters wearing a fireman's hat. I was like, that's fucking Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like, he's in these danger situations. He's always in grave danger, but he, you know, finds a way to slip out of it, make a little light of the situation, and just kick ass. And like, that's Spider-Man to me. Tom Holland Spider-Man really went through in this movie, and it was a really good journey. It was a really good journey for Spider-Man. I think it was very much needed. And I felt like, in my opinion, I felt like Marvel maybe listened to some of the criticisms from his Spider-Man, because, I mean, I'm not the only one that thinks that he's Iron Man Jr. I did not like in his first movie, it was him and Iron Man. Second movie, it's him and,
Nick Fury,
Skrull Nick Fury. And this one, I was a little nervous, because when they first announced that Doctor Strange is, I was like, Jesus, they just can't let him have his own movie, let him do his own thing. But then you kind of see what happens. They're like, all right, I'm digging it. And then the way it ends, you know, where they kind of like, you know, do the whole memory thing and everyone forgets, you know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. I was like, okay. Now this is kind of them resetting. It's like, okay, Spider-Man is going to stand on his own 2 feet. No more Stark Tech. You know, he's got his own apartment. He's in the city, you know, hustling. He made his own costume. Like, okay, this is the Spider-Man.
At least have a little Stark Tech.
Man. I know and love. And I'm sure, like, in the fourth one, because they're definitely going to do a fourth one, that he'll have a little Stark Tech. But I felt so sad for him, because I was like, he really doesn't have anybody. He doesn't have an Uncle Ben. He doesn't have Aunt May. He doesn't have an MJ. He doesn't even have a Ned. He doesn't even have a Happy. He doesn't have Doc. He doesn't have anybody. And I just, like, I really wanted to give his Spider-Man a hug by the end of the movie. I just was like, yo, bro, it's all good.
I mean, but man, you know what it is? They just forgot his identity. They don't, you know, people know that Spider-Man helped out.
Yeah, but, like, he has no one to go to, because they don't know him. You know what I mean?
True.
It's not like he can go to Ned and be like, hey, bro, like, I need, like, because remember, when he went to the coffee shop, Ned didn't know him.
Yeah.
MJ didn't know him. It's not like they still have that friendship. It's like, no, I don't know you.
Like, damn, and that was sad as fuck, bro. That was sad as fuck.
It was.
I just remember at that end of that movie, it was just like, damn. And then you see him in that suit at the end where it looks more classy, and you just like, damn. This motherfucker is about to start suffering in a minute.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting. I'm very curious if they're going to do a symbiote story with the fourth one, because it would make sense.
Given the fact that.
Yeah, this is him at his lowest point. You know, he's probably angry, depressed, rageful. It'd be the perfect opportunity for the symbiote to take hold of him and see, you know, what could that look like with a Spider-Man 4 if they're ready to do that symbiote story. But I think it's kind of time we have a proper symbiote story, because I don't think we've had that at all yet. And I think Marvel Studios could really do it justice.
We're going to see, boy.
Yeah. And, like, I think, do you have, like, a favorite scene?
Yeah, with Jamie Foxx and Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
They teased Miles Morales, but he was just like, man, you know, you from Queens, you got the costume, you help poor people. I just thought you was black, man. And it was just funny just seeing that disappointment on his face. Like, I really thought you was a brother.
Yeah. He's like, I'm sure there's a black Spider-Man somewhere. But yeah, they do need to bring in Miles. Maybe in the fourth.
I heard time, like, they really want that kid from Blackish to be Miles.
Which kid?
The kid that plays one of the twins.
Oh, I can kind of see that actually. I can see that actually. I think he'd be pretty good as a Miles Morales.
I know that that was something that people were talking about. It's not people were talking about, but it's fan casting.
I think one of my favorite scenes, it wasn't even an action scene. It was a scene where it was after Aunt May dies and Peter goes back to his high school. And then just like Tobey Maguire's like, where would he go? You know, what would be like his little, you know, his special place? And then like Andrew and Tobey come and they're all just talking on the rooftops, you know, about like what they've
loved. Oh, man, the intro to that when he was at the top of that joint, I was so fired.
Yeah, like what, and they're just talking about what they've lost and what they've been through, and just let them know that he's not alone. And then you could just see the pain in their eyes. It's such a good scene. But also that moment where Andrew Garfield Spider-Man got that redemption where he got to save MJ.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And you really didn't even need lines for that scene. Just him catching her and then just looking at her, you could just tell, you know, that he was going through. He just that look just said so much. That was just really good acting. Because that could be so hard to sell, you know what I mean? Because if that's not sold right, then you don't buy it. But just, like, watching that, and you're just like, I get it. I understand.
He's a really good actor, though.
No, he is. He's been in a bunch of other things that he's a really good actor. I think he could be the strongest actor to play Spider-Man in terms of, like, acting ability and range.
I'll give you that. I'll definitely go for that. So I haven't really seen Tom Holland in anything else for real.
Yeah.
I think he's in Uncharted.
Yeah, I'm not really lining up to see that because I don't know much about the Uncharted games. I know very little, but I just don't look at him and see Nathan Drake. I get supposed to be like a younger Nathan Drake, but the trailers don't grab me.
I might check it out.
Yeah, I'll wait and read the reviews before I rush to buy a ticket. But what else? What else about this movie? Oh, Willem Dafoe, just him back as the Green Goblin was so fucking awesome. Man,
God bless him.
And like,
because he did his own stunts and all that. Like, that was part of his thing about coming back.
Yeah, that's another great actor. I mean, it was great to see Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. It was good to see Jamie Foxx as Electro. But just Willem Dafoe, man. Everything he's in, I'm never disappointed. He's a really good actor. And him, he was able to just make it terrifying. You know, when he took that turn in the apartment and that apartment fight scene was fucking intense. You know what I mean?
What, bro? What?
That was great. That was actually a really good scene. That whole apartment building fight scene in Happy's apartment. And then when he just slams him through the floor. And Dr. Connors,
I told you, Peter, there was consequences.
Yeah. I didn't like how they really did the Lizard and Sandman. I'm like, because Sandman was able to turn back into a human at the end of Spider-Man 3. So I was kind of just like, okay, maybe the actors weren't available physically, but they were able to record their voices. You know what I mean? Like, maybe in post-productions, like, they couldn't be on set, but they could record their voices later down the line. That's what it probably was. Yeah. Great film. Great movie.
Just overall, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. That's a movie I'm definitely going to buy when it comes out on Movies Anywhere.
Oh, of course, you got to.
You know, because I already have the first two, and I feel like it's only right. I don't care if it's going to be on Disney Plus later. That's just a movie that I have to have for myself.
Yeah.
And the special features. Like, I'm still struggling with trying not to buy Shang-Chi just so I can see the special features for that.
Mm. Yeah. That, yeah. I got to think of like if I might see it again. I'm not good at really seeing movies in theaters twice. Like, it has nothing to do with the movie.
I really have to connect with it and like it. And Spider-Man was just one of those movies where I felt like I had to see it twice.
I think a movie I saw in theaters twice was it Infinity? I can't remember if it was Infinity War or Endgame, because I remember I saw it once with you guys, and then I can't remember if, I can't remember which one I saw it again, but I know I saw one of them again twice. Oh, I saw Power Rangers twice, but that was because you hadn't seen it, and I kind of lied about having not seen it. Remember that?
Dick. Or, and it was just terrible. I remember walking out, like, damn, that was just a terrible ass movie.
I did not think it was bad. I loved Power Rangers, man.
It was terrible, man. Hated it. I hated it. Never again. Like, that's not something that they should ever do again. They fucked up with the cop. Wait, what are we doing? We're not going to go off on this tangent. Or he's about to have me go on a whole Power Rangers rant.
Yeah, I like that movie, but yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
No, yeah. We won't. Not this time. But what I will say, a TV show that I was kind of like, I had to watch it again, is Boba Fett.
Okay.
I liked it, but I thought it was too slow, that first episode.
I thought it was too slow, too. I think what they should have done was put up two episodes, because I have a feeling that in the second episode is where they're really going to jump off the story. Because this, oh, by the way, guys, the Book of Boba Fett premiered December 29th, I believe it was, this past week on Disney+. They put up the first episode, and it was pretty much just about what happened to Boba Fett after he got swallowed up by the Sarlacc in the Sarlacc pit. You kind of find him literally in the bowels of the Sarlacc. That'd be fucking terrifying. Where, you know, it looks like he was struggling for air. You know, he manages to get out, and then he gets found by shit.
One of the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, by Tusken Raiders. Yeah, I believe it's Tusken Raiders. And he gets kidnapped by them, and he kind of ends up being their slave, and then he kind of earns their respect, and then, you know. But it was also like flashing back and forth between then and then, I guess, present time where the show takes place, and, you know, you see him as the new, you know, kind of like the big crime boss in Tatooine, and everyone's paying their respect.
New Jabba.
Exactly. He's making himself known. I think it'll be a pretty cool show. I like the people involved, because they got Jon Favreau, of course, Dave Filoni, and they got Robert Rodriguez, and I like him as a filmmaker. Yeah, so he's involved, I think, in the producing and the directing of the show. I think they should have put two episodes up, because this one kind of just like it ended. It was kind of just like, all right.
What?
I'm confident it would be a good show, but just in terms of first episode, the hype, a little bit more to be desired.
Yeah, that first episode definitely didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah.
And then what we saw from The Mandalorian is like, come on, you going to give me more of that? Yes. Hell yeah, give this man his own show.
Sometimes what bothers me is that they're like scared to make these Disney Plus shows like an hour. Like, it has to be, like, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Like, what's wrong with, like, an hour episode? Like, a good, solid 50, 55-minute episode. Like, I find that a lot of these Disney Plus shows are, like, is it just, like, kind of like what, like, your metrics are saying or your data is saying that, oh, you know, kids and young adults can only sit for this long? Like, which is kind of lame if that's how you're doing your programming. You should want your programming to be as long as possible to make sure you get your story across. I don't want to get too technical, but I feel like that's what I kind of dislike about Disney Plus sometimes, is that their shows are kind of just like 30, 35 minutes. I'm just like, I feel like we're rushing along here. We're not really.
In certain aspects, the pacing can be a little rushed. The only time where I feel like they rushed where I feel. Excuse me, guys. The one time that I wish that they had rushed the pacing is in fucking WandaVision. Till this day, I'm still not like the biggest fan of that one.
I like certain aspects of WandaVision. It wasn't my favorite show. I thought the acting was really good. But again, I knew like when they first announced these shows, I'm like, this one I'll be excited for this one. This one probably won't be my cup of tea, but I'll still watch it. And I knew that WandaVision wasn't gonna like pull me in or grab me. Like I wasn't gonna be like, man, WandaVision. You know what I mean? Like there were certain aspects of like just because it was the first Disney Plus Marvel show, so you wanted to see like, you know, how do their characters translate from film to
television,
a streaming television series. So yeah, and of course they pulled it off, no problem. But yeah,
Marvel.
Yeah. But yeah, Book of Boba Fett. I'm pretty sure it'll be a good show so far. I just wish they put up one more episode instead of just one. Because I remember when Hawkeye first premiered, they put up two episodes. So I thought that would.
They did that with a couple of them, didn't they do that with Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Actually, I don't think so. I think they did that with WandaVision. I think.
Yeah, you're right.
But they didn't do that with Falcon and Winter Soldier or Loki.
They don't do that with their good shows.
But I don't even know what the, because I guess like what could the Book of Boba Fett be about? Like some people were like, oh, maybe fucking Darth Maul could make an appearance, but I guess time-wise.
No, because she's dead already.
Yeah, so that's what other some people were saying. So I guess that makes sense. But I don't know. I don't know who could be the villain or something. But people were saying the villain could be you know that crime organization from Solo? I forgot.
Oh, the Red
Crimson
Dawn?
Crimson Dawn, yeah. People were saying that Crimson Dawn could be the main villain of that organization.
Like, I'm reading, well, no, because that takes place in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, so forget it.
Yeah. I don't really know what much else to say about Boba. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just a slow start. You know what I mean? Like it hasn't really opened up yet. You know, hasn't opened up full throttle. So there's really not much for us to say.
Yeah. But yeah. And I'm sure we'll check in right now as you know episodes progress and stuff like that. So maybe we'll have like. When it gets to the midpoint of the season, we'll probably like talk about what we think of the show so far and stuff like that and story points. But right now, I really don't even have much to say about the show.
I wish we did, guys, but it was like I said, it was just a slow start, a slow burn. You know, there were certain times where I damn near lost interest and was like, "What is going on?"
Yeah,
like, is it just me?
But before we sign off, I want to give some love to some viewers. First off, I want to send some love to Christopher Morris. Shout out to Christopher Morris.
Congratulations, bro.
Recently got engaged. Congratulations, Chris. Thank you for always supporting.
That's a fact. Since the first time we've ever started this podcast, you know, Chris is somebody that we grew up with.
Yeah,
he's a brother to the show. That you want to talk about a brother to the show? That's a brother to the show.
Yeah,
Chris, you know, he doesn't miss an episode. He's always listening.
Yeah, and sometimes I remember I saw Chris in the grocery store one time, and he's like, "When you guys record? And like, when's the next episode?" And you know, and like you know, because like you know, we record these, but you know, we hope that people listen. We hope that people enjoy them. You know, because sometimes you just make things and you put it out into the void that is the world, and you kind of just. You know, you live life and you move on, but then like it's so nice to hear that you know people enjoy it. You know, people have feedback for you,
like
listen. So it's always so. Thank you so much, Chris, for showing love. We appreciate it. Thank you for always supporting us. Even when we did our little jazz night, you were there for us. You helped us out. We appreciate that
from the beginning, Chris. You've been there, boy. We love you.
Much love, Chris,
and
congratulations on your engagement, brother. And we look forward to hearing more details about your. Soon to be marriage.
Nuptials.
Thank you. And I also want to give a shout out to my boy Andy Maurice. Always shows love to the podcast. He always talks about certain episodes with me. He's a long time listener. He's been there pretty much since the start. He used to send me kind of like videos or Snapchats with him. I think he sent me one. I think he was, I can't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but I think you were working on your car and you're like listening to it on your stereo. Like hearing my voice on a stereo, I was like, dude, thanks so much, brother. That means a lot. Much love. Also, Kelton. Shout out to Kelton. Thank you so much for listening. Because she was actually, she was listening to one of the episodes in her car recently too. She sent me a Snapchat of it. I think it was our last episode actually. I can't remember where she was driving to, but she was showing love. And I want to give a shout out to new listener, Lauda. She's listened to a couple episodes. Much love, Lauda. Thank you for listening and thank you for supporting.
I appreciate you for that.
Word. Thank you. And yeah. And anyone you want to shout out, man?
Man, I just want to shout out anybody that listens to us, that follows us on Instagram. What I really want to do is just make sure you guys keep the Instagram. We're posting on there all the time. So our Instagram name is Word to the Blurred, all one word. So WORDTOTHEBLERD. That's it. And we're right there. So just follow us. We're always posting something. I'm always posting on the story. So if you guys see a story and you guys want to reply to the story, just hit us up. Yeah, we definitely talk back.
And we're also, we want to do a Instagram live episode where Toussaint manages a social media account for Word to the Blurred. So he would be on the Instagram account for Word to the Blurred, and I'd go live on my Instagram and we'd talk, you know, have a live Instagram live episode so you could watch us talk and maybe have some of you guys, you know, chime in and, you know, kind of like a caller type thing, but like you guys would like video in with us and then discuss with us maybe any particular topics or things you want to talk about. I would love to hear about, you know, what's sort of things that makes you geeky, you know what I mean, whether it be like you like anime or you like pop dolls or you like collecting, I don't know, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, you know, whatever your little hobbies are, whatever makes your geek flag fly, we would love to hear about.
Just holler at us, man. Cannot wait. We're trying to do something really special with this podcast, you know. You know, everybody has their own calling or their own things that they're interested in wanting to do, you know, Khalid's film and podcasting it with me. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do in terms of music, but I definitely want to continue doing this podcasting thing. And the only way that we can do it is for beautiful people like you guys, you know, continuing to listen and, you know, like I just follow us on the gram, you know, tap in and just help us build this Word to the Blurred culture, help us build this thing up. So when it's really time to ride, y'all were the ones that helped us out. We just love y'all, man. Period. I can't really say anything else more than that.
Yeah, no, thank you guys so much. All the love in the world. We appreciate you guys, and we're going to keep this thing going. So thank you. And again, it's always good to hear your feedback because it inspires us to keep going and keep continuing. So thank you guys. Much love to you all. Have a safe, healthy, and happy new year. And
stay COVID blessed. Free, man. Please, stay COVID please, free.
Please be safe.
So with that being said, yo, this is Two.
This is Cal.
Welcome to Word to the Blurred, baby.
Word to the Blurred with Two and Cal. Peace.
Happy New Year.